Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
We have a cold front that's currently back to the west, but it's going to bring showers and storms this afternoon. We'll walk through the timing hour by hour coming up.
Rising tension in the Israel-Hamas war prompts a worldwide warning for American travelers. The advisory from the State Department and why it's considered a rare move.
And breaking news, you're looking live from inside the House chambers on Capitol Hill, where a third round of voting for House Speaker just wrapped up. Jim Jordan falling short of the necessary votes to become House Speaker. So still no House Speaker at this hour. Thanks for joining us.
And a line of thunderstorms, our other top story here, approaching our area from the west right now. It'll bring storms, heavy rain, gusty winds out there as well. So we've been watching this since the beginning of the week here.
Yeah, meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner is live out at the State Fair. She'll have your fair forecast. We begin with Anthony Baglione in the WRAL Severe Weather Center with a look at how close those storms are to us.
They are getting very close, guys. You walk outside right now, it's comfortable. We have some sunshine peeking out, so it does not necessarily feel like we're going to get rainfall, but it's coming. It's back to the west right now where that front is. It's just starting to approach some of our western area. So let's get you oriented here on radar with where we sit right now. A lot of this rainfall back toward Greensboro, just approaching Sanford, not quite to Fayetteville. Let's head up to the north here and show you kind of what's going on around the Roxboro area. Likely some sprinkles at this point, fairly limited coverage, pretty light rainfall, even up toward Mecklenburg County, South Hill, Virginia. That's where we're seeing the coverage at this point. We go a little bit farther to the south right there, where you see those yellows and the oranges showing up, getting close to a place like Carthage or Southern Pines. That's going to be some pretty moderate to heavy rainfall. So once this comes in, the sunshine is going to be obscured by the cloud cover, and we'll have this rainfall to deal with off and on, not completely all afternoon long, but mainly here through the next couple of hours into this evening. You can see it's all moving here from the west to the east. It's oriented with that cold front coming through. The front itself is not going to really shake up our temperatures much this weekend. It's just going to bring in some drier weather and some more comfortable weather here on our Saturday and Sunday. Here's where we sit right now. Live look, our Pinehurst camera. Definitely a few people still out there enjoying the golf. Get it done now. You still can because you see that flag blowing around just a little bit. Even this camera over the past half an hour or so has gone from that sunshine to some more cloud cover, kind of that darker look to it right there. And I think we'll be seeing that rainfall here in fairly short order. Here's future cast though. We go forward in time up until about 2-3 o'clock or so. That's when that first batch starts to approach our area and kind of works its way through most of our viewing area. We go to about 5 o'clock. Notice there could be some breaks at this point. It is not going to be everyone seeing the rainfall here all evening long. It's just where it comes down, it could be fairly heavy. 8 o'clock into this evening, starting to wind this down, and 11 o'clock, we should be wrapping this up. And by tomorrow, that weekend forecast is looking a whole lot better. We should not have any issues with rainfall tomorrow and Sunday. There's a good summary though for you. 80% chance here once we get in the thick of this for the next couple of hours. Really starts to taper off though into tonight. After about midnight, we should not have any rainfall to deal with. And again, tomorrow and Sunday are looking great. We'll see high temperatures topping out upper 60s to the north to about the mid 70s to the south, just kind of depending on your location. It will feel pretty comfortable, but just plan for that rain here as you're headed out into this afternoon and evening. We will, though, talk to meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner here in just a little bit, get that fair forecast and a full breakdown of the weekend, guys, here in just a few minutes.
Right now, we want to get you to the latest developments in the Israel-Hamas war. A Greek Orthodox church in the Gaza Strip was hit overnight by an Israeli airstrike. Palestinian officials say at least 500 Muslims and Christians had taken shelter there. Israel says Hamas was using the church as a hideout. Meanwhile, Israeli officials say about 100,000 civilians have requested licenses for firearms. We're told that's equal to the number requested in the span of 2 years.
The U.S. Department of State is warning Americans worldwide to be vigilant in the face of growing tensions as a result of the Israel-Hamas war. There are concerns that terrorists might also attack U.S. diplomatic compounds. WRAL's Keenan Willard is live at RDU International with reaction from people traveling internationally. Keenan.
Renee, it's definitely top of mind for every international traveler I've spoken with today at RDU. They have all said they are acutely aware of that worldwide caution that was issued by the State Department yesterday. Now, here is the language of that notice to all Americans overseas. That notice from the State Department says, due to increased tensions in various locations around the world, the potential for terrorist attacks, demonstrations, or violent actions against U.S. citizens and interests, the Department of State advises U.S. citizens overseas to exercise increased caution. It says U.S. citizens should stay alert in locations frequented by tourists, enroll in the Smart Traveler Enrollment Program, which can help the State Department to locate people in case of emergencies, and follow the State Department for updates on social media platforms like Facebook and Twitter. Now, here at RDU, we have flights departing today for countries like England, Canada, France, and Iceland, as well as local travelers heading to cities like New York and D.C. to catch other international flights. I spoke with multiple people flying international today. They all tell me these trips have been planned for months at this point, if not over a year. They're not planning on canceling, but in some cases, they've seen other travel advisories for their destinations in the past. While they're not planning to cancel, they say the alert will make them more cautious while they are outside of the country.
It made me less likely to want to venture off or like cancel those, but just stay with the group in the tourist areas, which is what the caution said to do.
Several travelers I spoke with here at RDU today said they are planning to travel to the Middle East today. And because of that, in the months prior to this, they had already enrolled in the STEP program so that in case of any emergency, their families in the State Department would be notified or would be able to reach them more easily just in case. Renee.
So important for those international travelers to stay on top of those advisories. Keenan, thank you. New this noon, the boom noise that so many people heard and felt over central North Carolina yesterday is still a mystery. We can tell you the U.S. Geological Service says it was a sonic boom. We first reported this yesterday during our new news. These are some of the areas where people reported hearing it and feeling it shake their homes. New today, the Air Force told WRAL none of its aircraft went supersonic over central North Carolina yesterday. The Navy also did not have any scheduled flights in the area either. We'll continue to seek answers from emergency and military officials.
With breaking news right now, Ohio Congressman Jim Jordan fails to win the House Speaker gavel after this third round of voting right now. There's North Carolina's Patrick McHenry, the acting speaker right now. That's the live picture inside the U.S. House of Representatives. Representative Jordan appears to have lost more Republican votes in this third round of voting than he did in the previous two ballots. According to the roll call, there are 427 members present, so that means Jordan would need 214, that'd be half plus one to win it. He lost 22 Republican votes the second round of voting Wednesday, 20 during the first round of voting, and by all indications, he has lost more than that right now. So he could only afford to lose five from Republicans and still have the votes he needed to win the gavel. So they're still tallying that up. It looks like they're wrapping up business there right now, but he does not have the votes to take the Speaker gavel.
And happening now in the WRAL Live Center, former Trump legal advisor Kenneth Chesbrough apparently turns down a plea deal from prosecutors in the Georgia election interference case. Now, under this agreement, Chesbrough would have pleaded guilty to a single felony racketeering charge for disrupting and delaying a joint session of Congress on January 6th. Of course, that was the day of the riots at the U.S. Capitol. He would have also agreed to testify against the other defendants, including former President Trump. Now, as a result of rejecting this plea deal, jury selection began today in Chesbrough's case. Now, if this trial moves forward, we could find out more about the evidence prosecutors have in this case. If you recall, yesterday, his co-defendant Sidney Powell struck a similar deal with prosecutors. No comment this noon hour from Chesbrough's legal team or the district attorney there in Fulton County. This is a developing story. Any new information, we'll keep you updated here in the WRAL Live Center.
Ken, thanks. In Johnson County, troopers say a car went airborne, crashed into a power pole, and then landed close to a house. This happened around 2 a.m. on Buffalo Road. Troopers say the driver was going at least 100 miles per hour, not wearing a seatbelt, and has serious injuries. That driver, we're told, is charged with the DWI. We're working to find out who was behind the wheel. We're also working to learn more about a high-speed chase in Sampson County. Deputies tell WRAL they tried to stop a motorcycle on State Highway 24 before 10 last night. night. The motorcyclist took off but crashed in a cul-de-sac in Autryville. The WRAL Breaking News tracker was there on the scene. You can see the motorcycle crashed in someone's yard, and deputies were searching a backpack. We're working to learn if anyone was hurt or arrested.
Work is moving right along on the 540 loop around Raleigh. The Triangle Expressway will extend from NC-55 bypass to I-40. This weekend, this project may cause some traffic issues for you, depending on where your weekend plans take you. WRAL's Monica Casey explains what people should expect.
This change is expected to start tomorrow, so if you have weekend plans in this area and driving on this road, this applies to you. NCDOT says they will be reopening the Holly Springs Bridge going over the Triangle Expressway tomorrow. Contractors will be shifting traffic on Holly Springs Road between Old Center Street and Kildare Farm Road from the temporary detour onto the new bridge, crossing over that future toll road. This traffic change also includes reopening the access between Catherine Place and Holly Springs Road. Construction started 4 years ago on the six-lane Triangle Expressway. Phase two, which will complete I-540 from I-40 at Garner to Knightdale, is scheduled to start in 2028. NCDOT plans to install signs reminding drivers of this change. The reopening will be weather dependent. Monica Casey, WRAL News in Wake County.
And another weekend road closure to keep in mind. A section of I-40 westbound will close tonight and possibly tomorrow night. This is also part of the complete 540 project. The westbound lanes of I-40 from Highway 42 to Highway 70 will close from 10 p.m. tonight to 5 a.m. Saturday morning. DOT crews will be working on the road. They'll close it tonight, possibly Saturday night into Sunday, also depending on the weather. Detour signs will be posted.
And happening now in the WRAL Live Center, major developments in the killing of a Maryland judge. Take a look at your screen right now. This man, the man whose divorce case recently appeared before the slain judge, is now suspected of killing that judge. The Washington County Sheriff's Department issuing an arrest warrant for 49-year-old Pedro Agote in the shooting of Maryland Circuit Judge Andrew Wilkinson. Judge Wilkinson was found with gunshot wounds in his driveway last night in Hagerstown. He was transported to a local hospital there in Hagerstown where he died from his injuries. Now, the judge's wife and son were home at the time. Agote is considered armed and dangerous. This is, of course, a developing story. Any new information, we'll update you here in the WRAL Live Center.
Ken, thanks. Bringing Olympic training right here to the Triangle. USA Swimming says Olympic athletes will train at the Triangle Aquatic Center in Cary for the 2024 Paris Olympic Games. The Triangle Aquatic Center, also called TAC, says it's been working with USA Swimming to make this all happen. Leaders say it's an honor to provide the space for athletes and a great chance for local swimmers to watch practice sessions and perhaps even meet some of the Olympic athletes. Once trials are complete and the U.S. Olympics team has been selected, the swimmers will start practice at the center in June. Next at noon, Army Private Travis King fled to North Korea and is now being held by the U.S. military, charged with desertion. The other charges he faces.
Also, next level road rage in Oregon. A man so upset at traffic and construction drives right through a parade route. A dash cam video you have to see.
Plus, Wake Forest High School will see more security at football games beginning tonight. What prompted the move and the new rules now in place?
Download the new WRAL streaming apps on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, and Android TV.
Army Private Travis King, who fled North Korea, is now being charged with desertion and held by the U.S. military. NBC's Stephanie Gosk has reaction from King's mother.
This morning, new consequences for the American soldier who returned home last month after causing an international incident when he fled into North Korea. Travis King, the 23-year-old active duty soldier, spent 2 months in North Korean captivity after bolting across the border in July. He is now charged by the U.S. military with desertion. Documents obtained by NBC News show 8 counts against King, the others involving child pornography and striking other military personnel. King's July sprint across the border into North Korea came shortly after his release from a South Korean prison, where he served 48 days on charges that included damaging public property. He was due to fly back to the U.S. when he bolted while on a private group tour of the heavily fortified demilitarized zone separating North and South. His capture in North Korea put the U.S. in a delicate position, as tensions with the isolated country and its dictator, Kim Jong-un, remain high. But unlike past cases of U.S. prisoners held in North Korea, King was released without any U.S. concessions.
It's not what we would normally expect of North Korea. I think in the end, they interrogated him. They understood the circumstances under which he left, and they thought, we don't want him in the country. And so they let him go.
Little is known about how King was treated in North Korea, and he has not publicly explained his actions. As he waits now in pretrial confinement in Fort Bliss, Texas, his mother released a statement pleading, I ask that my son be afforded the presumption of innocence.
That was Stephanie Gosk reporting. And now this newly released dash cam video out of Portland, Oregon, shows a driver nearly hitting several people right along a parade route. This happened back in June. The court case is coming up, but this was just released. The video of the car taken at several different angles shows him speeding around blockades. Police almost get him here, and then he takes off once again. Small children were out there. You can see him running several red lights, evading officers. Police finally stopped that SUV and arrested him. The 42-year-old man pleaded not guilty to nearly 40 charges. Police say a man who crashed into the Chinese consulate in San Francisco last week was armed with a knife and had a loaded crossbow in his car. Police say there were about 30 people in the lobby when the car crashed into the consulate building. Officers say the 31-year-old tried to stab a responding officer before he was fatally shot. The motive has not been released.
The Florida lawmaker who sponsored the state's controversial Don't Say Gay bill was sentenced to 4 months in federal prison for COVID-19 relief fraud. Joe Harding resigned in December after the indictment and pleaded guilty in March to wire fraud, money laundering, and making false statements related to COVID-19 relief funds. Harding's sentence will be followed by 2 years of supervised release. Here's a story you have to see to believe. Police in Poland say a 22-year-old man posed as a mannequin in a shop window to rob businesses after the mall closed. Surveillance images shared by police show the man posing in the store window there. And then another video shows him sliding under the gate into a store for new clothes after enjoying a meal at a restaurant. Officers say the man stole clothes, jewelry, and food on more than one occasion. But standing frozen there in the window, nobody noticed.
And some then, tactic.
Yeah, no kidding. That's a lot of work. Interesting.
Yeah, pulled it off for a little while. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
But then caught.
Yeah. Well, we got gray skies moving in here. We take it out to the fair right now. Elizabeth Gardner is there. We're waiting for this line of storms here, and folks should be on a pretty good alert out there at the fair for this storm front. Elizabeth.
I was sitting in the booth from 10:30 to 11:30, and everybody asked me, when is the rain coming? So I think people have a good sense that it is on the way. It is not raining here yet, but I wanted to show you some of the great things to do inside because it is going to be raining on and off today. This is the Education Building, and this is where you'll find the contest that, like, local people can enter, any of us, like you or me. I'm not sure that I'm talented enough at anything to do that, but this is the line to see the cakes, and the cakes are amazing. The line stretches way down that way. Take a look at this one. So they're professionally decorated cakes and then they're amateurs. And I love this one. Look at Avatar. You can see all the detail. That is a cake. It looks like a sculpture of some sort. And then we have juniors and you can see it's Mario Brothers and a kid did that. Isn't that amazing? And then amateur. This is best of show for amateur. Everything that you see has to be edible. So this is fascinating. You can see the water and the trout. It's a rainbow trout. Out. Absolutely fantastic. And there's so many things like this. The cakes are one of the most popular things that are in the education building. It's really amazing. Again, one of the nice things to be able to do at the fair, and there is building after building of really interesting, amazing things to see out here. Let's take a look at where the rain is right now. We're going to jump on out and take a look at the satellite and radar. Starting on the big view so that you can see what's happening out there. We'll take a look at where our precipitation is. Of course, Anthony was showing you the radar at the beginning of the newscast, and you could see, of course, our cold front moving through the mountains and that rain out ahead of it. Let's go ahead and put that into motion. And we can see where that rain is pushing in, really starting to push into our viewing area. One nice thing about this is it looks like it's weakening a little bit back to the west behind that first line that comes through. We'll take a look. We'll zoom in with dual Doppler 5000 radar. And you can see some of that rain falling right now in Moore County. It's falling in Chatham County, moving into Orange County. So it's going to be here at the State Fair, most likely between 1 and 2 o'clock this afternoon. We take a look at Futurecast right here at 12:15. You can see pretty much what radar is showing us, where we have that line of rain moving on in. We'll likely have some thunderstorms with this, too. At 1 o'clock, we're seeing rain in Durham. We're seeing it in Chatham County back down towards Southern Pines. We push it ahead to 2 o'clock, and it's right here over the fairgrounds, stretching from South Hill all the way down to Fayetteville. Likely have some thunder and lightning, some heavy rain, some blustery winds, but it's unlikely that it'll be strong enough for severe weather. By 5 o'clock, most of the rain, the heaviest rain, is along the I-95 corridor, but that's not the end of it. Take a look as we move through Futurecast. You can see more waves of rain that continue. So if you're going to be out and about this evening at all, to be completely finished with the rain in the triangle, it's probably going to be around 8 o'clock, and our southern and eastern county, it's probably going to be closer to around 10 o'clock before the rain is completely out of the viewing area. You can see it is cloudy now at the State Fair, 71 degrees. We'll see a high of 72 with that good chance of rain this afternoon, at least on and off. Our temperatures, mid-60s in the north, below 70s already around Fayetteville. Around town, looking at temperatures in the low to mid-70s for highs this afternoon, but of course, rain's really going to be the biggest story. It is going to be a beautiful weekend. Saturday and Sunday, we'll see lots of sunshine with highs in the 70s, but it's also going to be breezy. On Saturday, some gusts up to 25 miles per hour, but it will be nice and sunny. Again, looking at some pretty weather for the weekend, it'll be very nice to see that. I want to show you one more cape. Come over here really quickly and take a look at this. Sean's going to follow me. Look at this. It's a bowl of cereal, and all of that is edible. Isn't that incredible? Coming up in just a little while, I'll take you to a different building and show you some beautiful art. Back to you guys.
Proof that we can have our cake and weather too. We get them both. Thank you, Elizabeth.
Yeah. Be sure to come meet the WRAL family while you're at the fair. No more folks today, but we have a full lineup tomorrow. Say hello to Lena Tillett and Julian Grace tomorrow from 11:30 until 1:30. Elizabeth and Jeff will be out there from 2 until 4. And then Ashley Rowe will be greeting you tomorrow between 4:30 and 6:30 in the evening.
Can't wait. Weather's going to be great tomorrow. Mm-hmm. October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and WRAL is highlighting efforts from one woman who lost her own battle with breast cancer, but that could help others win theirs. Today at 4, we'll hear how her advocacy for more funding for metastatic breast cancer led to a first-of-its-kind collaboration between Duke and UNC researchers.
Then at 5, the best barbecue restaurant in North Carolina by way of Yelp ratings just got a C on their health score. Five Underside breaks down the big problems at Big Mike's Barbecue. You could be entitled to some cash from one of the nation's top fast food chains. Why Chick-fil-A is paying millions of dollars to settle claims from customers.
Also, Tyson Foods is known for its chicken, beef, and pork products. Now it's jumping on the protein craze and the partnership that could provide a tasty meal for your pet.
Fisher-Price is recalling about 21,000 Thomas & Friends toy trains due to choking hazards. The two models are the Thomas & Friends Wooden Railway Troublesome Truck and Crates and the Thomas & Friends Troublesome Truck and Paint. Fisher-Price says a small plastic piece with a magnet connecting the trains can loosen or detach and pose a choking hazard. No injuries have been reported yet. Visit Mattel's website to learn how you can get a full refund.
Chick-fil-A will pay more than $4 million to settle a class action lawsuit. It's over inflated delivery prices during the pandemic. The food chain promised low delivery fees through its app or website, but increased menu prices on delivery orders by as much as 30%. Eligible customers will receive an email from the customer and receive their cash, either cash or a gift card, for $29. Chick-fil-A did not admit guilt, but agreed to add a disclosure on its app and website stating the product prices may be higher for delivery orders. Some Instagram users will soon be able to add polls under their posts. The social media site has been testing the option over the past 6 months. The feature will look similar to polls in Stories and will provide another way for creators to generate more engagement on their content. The feature is still in the testing phase, but Meta's CEO says it'll be rolling out to everyone soon.
Tyson Foods is forging a new partnership to create food for pets. The meat processor has invested in Protix, a Dutch-based insect ingredient maker. Interest in insect protein for animal food has been growing in recent years. A U.S. facility will use animal waste to feed black soldier flies, which will then be turned into food for pets, poultry, and fish. Some experts say reducing the amount of land, water, and energy it takes to grow crops for the animals we feed could ease the burden on the planet.
Wake Forest High School is making some changes ahead of tonight's big rivalry game. The new rules for fans, and while you'll see extra security in the stands.
Plus, a local mental health crisis team is expanding. How often people in Durham will be able to receive help in times of need. First, here's a look at the winning education lottery numbers.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
After a dry start to the morning, a line of showers is approaching the viewing area right now. The good news is that it won't wreck your weekend plans. Meteorologist Anthony Baglione in the WRAL Severe Weather Center with a check of the forecast.
Yeah, Renee, thankfully, like you said, yeah, the weekend looking pretty good. But let's get us oriented here with what we're seeing right now on the map. So a lot of these are approaching our western counties at this point. Thankfully, no thunderstorms expected at the moment. We could still see a few isolated storms through this evening. Approaching Roxborough, though, right now is where we see the shower activity getting ready to push into the city of Durham as well. And we head a little bit farther to the south around Southern Pines, Carthage, and Sanford. This is all pushing closer to the east here around the triangle, and we'll watch that as we go through this evening. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner will have another update here on the weekend forecast and the fair in just a few minutes.
And happening now in the WRAL Live Center, once again, the U.S. House of Representatives failed to elect a House Speaker. Let's get you to some video that came in just about a couple of hours ago. This was the scene when they were gathering for that roll call to get that vote. Nominee Jim Jordan failed to get the necessary 217 votes that was needed for him to win the gavel. He actually got less than 200 votes, actually 194 votes. House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries actually got more votes at 210. Jordan is failing to get the necessary support from his GOP colleagues. On the first ballot, you recall the other day, he lost 20 Republicans. On the second ballot, he lost 22 Republicans. On this ballot today, he lost 25 Republicans. Now, because of the narrow margin of majority in the U.S. House of Representatives for Republicans, any candidate running for the House speakership can only afford to lose 4 or 5 votes. And again, today, Jordan lost 25 votes. So no Speaker of the House. That means the Speaker of the House, without having a speaker, no work is being done in the U.S. House of Representatives. We will be monitoring the story for any new developments. Look for new reporting starting at 4 right here on WRAL.
Starting tonight, you and your young teen or tween will have to attend Wake Forest football games together. A high school says middle schoolers have to be accompanied by an adult. WRAL's Destiny Patterson is live in Wake Forest right now with why these new rules are in place. Destiny?
Good afternoon, Jeff. Middle schoolers who show up to this gate without having a parent or an adult with them will not be allowed to enter, even if they do have a ticket. School officials tell me that middle schoolers have been coming to the games and they haven't been following directions. And they also have not been being picked up quickly enough after those games are over. This all comes after Wake Forest Police Department made that announcement ahead of tonight's game. They say that this is the second high school in Wake Forest to make this change this year. Heritage High School made a similar announcement a couple of weeks ago. Supervising adults have to be 18 or older. And officials recommend that you get here early. They're expecting this to be a very big game, so expect those long lines. And they will kick off tonight at 8 o'clock. It'll be the Wake Forest Cougars versus the Rollsville Rams. Jeff?
Big rivalry game, big changes in place. Destiny Patterson, live in Wake Forest. Thank you. Now, don't forget to watch High School OT live tonight, 7 o'clock. It is on the High School OT app and wherever you stream WREL. You can see the scoring plays and highlights from the area's best games, hosted by Nick Stevens and TJ Thorpe.
A group in Holly Springs shined a light on a crisis that often happens behind closed doors. Domestic violence, which new data shows affects nearly a third of women in this country. Survivors, family members, and police gathered to honor victims last night. They held candles and photos of loved ones outside the police department there. A police sergeant who works with domestic violence cases told us partner violence can take many forms, including physical, emotional, and financial abuse. If you suspect a loved one is a victim of this, here's one way to help.
Not to have expectations of what they should and what they shouldn't do, to just be a good listener and to support them, because it's up to the victim when they can leave. It's not for us to tell them, hey, you should do this, you should do that, because it's a story that you just don't understand unless you've ever been in those shoes.
Groups like Interact in Wake County support victims and their families, as well as Shining Light in Darkness in Durham. October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month.
Durham's expanding a service created last year to help people experiencing mental health crises or other concerns. It's a HEART program, it's called. It sends counselors instead of law enforcement officers to emergency calls. Starting Monday, HEART will serve all locations within the city limits 7 days a week, 12 hours a day, including holidays. People will still need to call 911 and answer some questions, and then the dispatchers will send the appropriate response team. Nearly 200 new housing options are coming to West Raleigh. The developer bought 25 acres for $6 million. The multifamily building will include 1, 2, and 3-bedroom units. The property is located near Drive Shack and just a short drive to PNC Arena, Carter Finley Stadium, and the State Fairgrounds. Construction is expected to begin in March and open in 2026.
Happening now in the WRA Live Center, we want to update a story we first brought you at the top of the broadcast. Remember all those reports we got from Orange County in the last 24 hours about what sounded like a sonic boom? Well, we're now hearing from the U.S. Geological Survey that that loud sound was actually an earthquake. We checked with the USGS a little while ago, and for some reason, whatever was happening did not show up on their algorithms, but they re-looked at the data this morning, and lo and behold, what they found was that whatever people were hearing yesterday in Orange County, that it was in fact an earthquake that was hitting at the time. We'll continue to update this story throughout the day, of course, online and on WRL.com and WRL News app.
Mystery solved. Heard it from Ken Smith first. All right. Certain cold medicines will be harder to find. YCVS says it will no longer sell Sudafed, Theraflu, and Dayquil.
Don't let the device intimidate you. Why doctors say more people should learn how to use a defibrillator. We'd love to connect with you online. Follow WRL on Facebook to join the conversation. CVS will no longer sell cold and cough medicines with phenylephrine listed as the only active ingredient. An FDA committee found phenylephrine is ineffective when taken orally. And while the ingredient is safe to use, many doctors have questioned whether it even works for years. So a ban on those medications is CVS's decision. The FDA has not asked manufacturers or retail pharmacies to remove products containing that ingredient from store shelves. Communities across the country are struggling with how to safely get rid of disposable vaping products. That's because they're considered hazardous materials. Single-use vaping products containing nicotine, lithium, and other metals can't be tossed into the trash, reused, or recycled. The FDA is working to prevent imports of several disposable vaping brands.
This year, more than 350,000 people will experience cardiac arrest. In hospitals, defibrillators are used to deliver a jolt of electricity to the person's chest, and it gets the heart beating again. Outside of the hospital, though, portable devices called automated external defibrillators, AEDs, they are used to revive someone suffering cardiac arrest. Doctors say knowing how to use them could potentially save someone's life.
I really want people not to be afraid to use it, because this, applying an AED to someone who's collapsed and doesn't have a pulse can actually save their life, and save their life in the way that they won't have long-lasting consequences from having collapsed on the floor.
A doctor says you can't hurt someone using the AED if you follow the audio cue on it. Very important.
Are you scared of crazy sounds that your house makes at night? Well, coming up, what a recent survey reveals about the fear of the supernatural.
Plus, to the untrained eye, these look just like old bones. But four people now face charges for breaking a federal law. This is a live look right now, Pinehurst Resort and Country Club. You see some raindrops on our camera there. So they're scattering just a bit down there. As you watch WRL News, available on Spectrum and the WRL app on your TV or streaming device. And from that home of the U.S. Open next year, to this golf course, after nearly a year, Fort Liberty's Ryder Golf Course has officially reopened as of today. The golf course closed last December for improvements that include changes to bunkers, tee boxes, greens, and a new pro shop. Fort Liberty is hosting several events throughout the weekend to celebrate the new course. A ribbon-cutting ceremony just took place about 15 minutes ago. The Commanding General's golf scramble is expected to begin at 1 p.m. Hopefully they stay dry.
With Halloween around the corner, a social media app asked if users thought their home is haunted. Nearly half of millennials who took part in this survey believe their home is haunted. 46% say they've lost sleep over the thought after a flickering light or an unexplained noise. 32% of millennials admit they don't visit some family and friends because of potential paranormal activity. North Carolina features many paranormal myths, from the Devil's Tramping Ground to Lydia's Bridge. If you've ever dreamed of staying the night in a haunted hotel or Airbnb, there are a few bone-chilling rentals with eerie stories that allow guests to visit overnight. WRL's Hidden Historian has compiled a list of these haunted rentals, including the Stroud House in Wake Forest and the Dunhill Hotel. You can also find general North Carolina ghost stories on our website. Just search haunted hotels if you dare. Spooky.
I can
not go in there.
I can buy a little bit of scary weather rolling into our area. That's about it.
Yeah. No rain yet over at the State Fairgrounds, but meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner is finding great places that you can spend your time, even if you are headed out to the fair with a little rain, Elizabeth.
We are hiding inside this afternoon, that's for sure. Did you know that there are art contests at the fair? To tell you the truth, I've been coming to the fair. I grew up in Raleigh. I've been coming to the fair since I was probably 3 or 4 years old. And until my daughter started doing art at school, I had no idea. But what a great place to duck into and take a look. This is in the Carr Scott building. Take a look. This is the high school first place winner. I love this little girl. She's got such great expressions on her face. She's got these bubbles with goldfish. So she must be dreaming of a goldfish. You know, I know how that is. Mom, can I please get a goldfish? You know, that's what she's thinking. Absolutely incredible. Take a look at this one. This is elementary school, grade 3 through 5. Absolutely fabulous bowl of lemons. We move over here to middle school. This beautiful grapefruit, all those colors and all that detail. It's amazing. This is the first place winner for adults, amateur. I'm not so sure that this person should be an amateur. Absolutely fabulous. But I'm loving this back here too. I mean, I could go on and on. There's a pencil drawing of this dog. I love the eye. Isn't that incredible? All the detail there. And this violin and the color here and the music notes. Absolutely amazing. I feel like I need to give you time to just kind of soak these things in. But this one is fabulous. Grade K through 2. Kindergarten through 2nd grade. First place there. That cherry. I've got the shine on it. The shadow. Kindergarten through 2nd grade. It's really amazing. So if you do find yourself out here in the rain this afternoon or any other time, there's so many amazing things to see, building after building of exhibits. Let's jump on out and take a look at radar. We do have that rain that's getting closer and closer to us at this point. And of course, we're likely to see it for several hours. You can see it's now moving through Sanford. It's moving into Durham County. We're seeing it in Pittsburgh, all the way down into Hope County. So it continues to push eastward. And as it's moving eastward, it's picking up a little intensity, too. You can see some of those yellow and orange colors beginning to show up. So it's definitely on its way. We'll take a look at the big picture again and watch that cold front sliding on in our direction. And that's going to move through slowly and be with us into the evening. We'll have rain in part of the viewing area, most likely all the way way through dinner time tonight. Here's a look at Futurecast. We'll push this ahead at 1 o'clock. It looks like the models are pretty much right on time compared to what we're actually seeing. So by 1:30, 2 o'clock, it is raining here at the fairgrounds. We have this line of thunderstorms that'll be coming through, and that rain will be heavy at times. But once that moves on by, it parks itself there for a while in our eastern counties. But we're going to have some breaks in the rain for a bit, but it's not likely to be completely over until we get closer to, say, 7 or 8 o'clock in the triangle, and it'll be closer to 10 or 11 before it's completely out of the viewing area. So it's with us on and off. Not a total washout, but, you know, you're going to want to find some places, if you're coming to the fair, to duck in every now and then. 72 today. The weekend's still looking phenomenal. Saturday and Sunday, temperatures are close to 70 degrees. Football Friday, yep, we're going to be dodging some showers and thunderstorms, but as the night goes on, we'll have fewer and fewer of them. If you're going to a football game, take along your umbrella. But you won't have to Saturday, looking great. Virginia plays at UNC at 6:30, looking fantastic. And Johnson C. Scott plays at Fayetteville State, looking phenomenal for anything outside this weekend. Our tropical outlook, we're looking at it's become a hurricane. Hurricane Tammy. It looked like it was going to be a couple more days before it became a hurricane. It will continue to move through the Leeward Islands and remain as a hurricane all the way through the weekend. But once it gets past the Leeward Islands, it is not going to affect land. The biggest story, of course, for the weekend is just the beautiful weather. Hopefully you can get outside. And even if it is sunny, you still may want to come and check out some of the art. And we didn't even touch on the animals, which is another of my favorite things.
Four people, thanks Elizabeth, four people charged with stealing dinosaur bones. Find out how long prosecutors say this went on and how much they're worth and where they were sold.
Breaking news, Kenneth Chesebrough becomes the second former Trump lawyer to plead guilty in the Georgia election interference case. He pleaded guilty to a single felony racketeering charge for disrupting and delaying a joint